Do you remember that movie, Life is Beautiful? Have you ever seen that, Life is Beautiful? It starts out in a very comical spirit, almost slapstick jokes. An Italian waiter and all his antics. But it's an Italian Jew at the time when the Nazis were taking over Europe. And so the movie shifts from being a very comical, lighthearted movie to a very serious, tragic movie when this man, the star, and his son are detained in a Nazi concentration camp. But he tells the son that this is a game. We're trying to get points to win the prize. So the man, the father, knows that it's a tragedy, but he tells the son that it's a game. And the audience is wondering, is this movie a comedy or a tragedy? It's a weird combination. Anyway, that movie comes back to mind in reflecting on today's readings, because these readings are just weird, weird combination. In fact, anybody reading the Bible for any length of time has to come to this conclusion. This is really weird. There's a lot of weird juxtapositions in the Bible. Very beautiful, very noble, very inspiring, and then very ugly, very evil, and very discouraging. And sometimes they're put together side by side. Look at today's first reading, the story of the judge Jephthah. This is the period of the judges. These judges are local heroes whom God raises up to guide his people. And Jephthah is one of them. And Jephthah, he's a good man. He's dedicated to God. He makes a vow to the Lord. He says, I want to defeat the Lord's enemies, the enemies of God's people. And if I do, well, then I'm going to offer him whoever comes out the door. Well, that was a stupid thing to say. I mean, for all the nobility and all the good intention of the man, he makes a very foolish vow. Something like King Herod when he says, I'll even give away half my kingdom. You don't make a vow like that. You can't, you shouldn't offer things that you can't give. Anyway, so there's this combination of a very great man and a very great warrior doing a very foolish thing. At least it's clear to us it's foolish. He doesn't know that. He's kind of innocent. And it turns out that his own daughter is the target of his vow. And she accepts it. So she's a very noble, selfless, holy woman. And she says, well, you have to fulfill what you said to God. Everyone has to fulfill their vows. Now, she could have been completely justified in running away and never coming back, because that vow should not have been fulfilled. But anyway, this is it. The combination of noble intention and downright evil. Human sacrifice. It's one of the worst things you can do. The gospel has this combination too, or this juxtaposition. Starts out very good, hey, a royal wedding, good news, big party. I hope I get invited. That's how you usually say, a royal wedding. Those who get invited decide they don't want to come. Well, that's the first twist. That's really weird. Then they kill the servants who are spreading the invitation. What's that all about? You don't kill people who make an invitation. You can ignore them if you want to. You don't kill them. And then the king turns around and he destroys the whole city. That escalated pretty fast. And it sounds like quite an exaggerated reaction. It's one thing to kill a murderer. It's another thing to wipe out the whole city. In fact, it's his own city. What's going on here? Finally, okay, they gets the guests, very beautiful, gathering people from all over, from the street, the bad and the good. Everyone can come to the wedding. Looks like it's going to have a happy ending. And then along comes this guy who doesn't have a wedding garment, and he gets thrown out into the darkness where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. What? And you say, well, this is really weird. Is this a comedy or a tragedy? Now, if you reflect on this a little bit, you'll realize it's not just the Bible that's weird. Life is weird. The human experience is weird. The Bible is a very accurate description of our condition in the world. God is on our side. We tend to mess things up. Then it seems like God is against us. And then he seems like he's for us. And sometimes we can't figure it out. Well, that's life. That's life. It's like trying to figure out that movie. Is this a comedy or a tragedy? It has a happy ending, but there's a lot of sadness along the way. There's nothing more weird than a perfect creation, which is what God made, having a snake in it that tempts people to do what's wrong. Well, that's really weird. It was good, then it got harmed, became bad. Weirder still, God himself entered into the picture as a man. What's more beautiful than the incarnation? God comes as a child. What's more joyful than a Christmas celebration? It's even better than a wedding banquet. And yet, that child grows up, and for all his good deeds and all his miracles and all his wisdom, he gets killed. That's the worst thing that could ever possibly happen. Worse than killing servants, worse than wiping out a city, we killed God. And then a few verses later, he comes back to life. It's like, oh, it's comedy after all. Well, that's what we're reflecting on here. I remember back in, I don't remember the year, was it 2013 or 2014? There was that big earthquake in Bohol, Cebu and Bohol. It was the same, around the same time of year as that typhoon that hit Tacloban, Yolanda. 10 years ago, say. When that earthquake struck Bohol, one of the effects was a couple of very famous old Spanish churches were destroyed. A lot of things were destroyed, but the most prominent things were these historic landmarks. One of them I had been to, and I went on a trip with my parents. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a very big old Spanish church, and it had they had turned the rectory into a museum. Full of, you know, historic artifacts. Anyway, the church was destroyed. And so the question came up, well, it's one thing for God to send an earthquake, but he destroyed his own church. He destroyed his own building. This monument to the glory of God, and also a evidence of human achievement and cultural development, it gets destroyed by God himself. You would think he would destroy a casino or something, or a drug dealer's house or something, but no, he destroys a beautiful old church. But now, what's going on here? I think we can understand this as the difficulty, if I can put it this way, the difficulty that God has in trying to plant in human experience a divine life. Trying to put in a fallen world a perfect kingdom. It's a weird combination, and it's going to create a lot of upheavals. We've all known people who have had transplants. You know, I have transplants. So someone their kidneys fail. So they have an operation, take out the old diseased kidney and put in a new one, a perfectly good functioning kidney. It's an attempt to save the life of the person. What happens? The person's own body rejects the transplant. This thing that is meant to be for his health, the body interprets as an invader that has to be fought against. And so the immune system has to be suppressed, and they have to take these drugs to make the body accept the good new organ. That's kind of what's happening in God's efforts to save us. He comes with great news. He comes to invite us to a great wedding banquet. And we interpret it as an invasion, as a disturbance of our plans. We put up a resistance. So God, he doesn't want to give up on saving our life, just like a doctor doesn't give up on the transplant. He said, well, I'll give him some drugs. I'll send some messages. I'll do something. I'll even have to punish in order to get them to think differently. So like this king, he just doesn't give up. He's got this banquet and he wants to share it. So he brings in people, even if they're not worthy, the good and the bad. The parable's kind of a turning point is this man who comes in, but he's not wearing a wedding garment. Of course, this is symbolic language. This wedding garment is what we receive in baptism. When we are baptized, we are made worthy to enter into the royal wedding banquet. We are, even though we're not worthy, we're made worthy. We are washed clean and clothed with a white garment. And we're supposed to keep that garment. That's our uniform as we march through this world. If we lose it or soil it, well, then we're no longer in a condition to accept the invitation. It's like the transplant patient who stops taking his what do they call those drugs to prevent you from resisting the, there's a word for that. He stops taking the drugs that make it possible to accept the transplant. Well, he gets sick again. That's what happens to this guy. The king comes to him, my friend. He addresses him in a very beautiful way, my friend. I want you here, but how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? I invited you. I made it possible for you to join in. I did everything I could. What? You know, is my friend, why have you not done your part? And it says the man was reduced to silence. He doesn't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse if we're not cooperating with what God is doing. Even though we might not understand the crazy juxtaposition of good and bad, of beautiful and ugly, but we are responsible to respond as best we can to what God has given us. Ignorance does not disqualify us. That's the story of Jephthah. He's ignorant that he is not obliged to fulfill his foolish vow. He's ignorant, so he's still considered a good man. But if we don't do what is revealed to us, if we don't cooperate with the grace given to us, well then we put ourselves in a condition that makes us unworthy of the banquet. So it's not the king's fault that the man gets thrown out of the banquet. The man did it to himself. Well, clearly the Word of God is giving us a way to understand this weird situation of life and the weird story of our salvation. Is it a comedy or a tragedy? Well, it depends on us. God wants it to be a comedy. We can turn it into a tragedy, and we have, and we often do, but it can still be turned around if we turn around, if we change our hearts and welcome the grace that is so freely given to us. So that's the answer. We could say it's summed up in this line from the psalm: "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Blessed the man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is the one who follows the Lord, who does the will of God. For him, life is a comedy, has a happy ending, eternal glory.